Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, approximately 20 lines from the bottom, as Be'ezer Hashem, we are Messiah Masechta Yevamos. It's said in the Mishnah, B'Avi Kachavim Hayim Meskaven. The Mishnah drew a distinction by the testimony of an Avi Kachavim who says that a man is no longer alive, whether he was miskaven, lohayid, if he had intention or not. And says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, lo shana lo shana miskaven l'hatir. When does our Mishnah say that a Akum's testimony is not to be accepted? Is when his intent was to say testimony that will allow this man who he's saying passed away, his wife, to remarry. Avon miskaven lohayid. If all he intended to do was to serve, say testimony that the man passed away, but he did not intend that this woman should get remarried, I do say, Eidus, we accept his testimony. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Yedinan, how are we to know what is his intent? Amar Rav Yosef, Baal Bezdin, if he came to Bezdin, Vam Ish Plani Meis, this person passed away, his sius ishto, and therefore his wife should be allowed to get married. Zed niskaven lahatir. That's an example of a person whose intention is to permit this man's wife to get married, and his testimony is not acceptable. If he just said, however, meistam, that this person passed away, zed niskaven la'edis, and his testimony is accepted. Itma nami amrei shlokish loishon shel niskaven lahatir. When is the Akum's testimony not accepted? When his intent was to be matter this man's wife. Avon, skaven, lohoed. If his intention was to say Eidus, Eidusoy Eidus. Amlei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Lo kacha yamaisa ba'oishi b'ribi. Wasn't there a situation where Oishi b'ribi shehitris im shmeinim v'chameh shazakenim that had a debate with 85 zakenim? Amlehem, lo shanu Elish and Skavim Lahatim, and he said, as we have been learning, that the only time the Akum's testimony is not to be accepted is when his intent was to be matter of his wife. Avon and Skavim Lahoyed, if all he intended to do was say testimony, the Loch is Eidus Eidus, his testimony is accepted. And the Chachamim did not agree to that either, and the Chachamim held that under all circumstances, if a guy had intent, his testimony is not to be accepted. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Elamas nisim diktani. This that we learned in our Mishnah. By the kachavim im hayu miskaven. By an akum if he had kavona. The halacha is ein edusoy edus. His edus is not something to be relied on. But if he didn't have intent, then we can rely on his edus. Ask the Gemara, Heichim Mishkach Chasla, exactly what is the case where
please
we can accept the
remote access code.
We can accept the testimony of a goy. Answers the Gemara, B'Messiach Lefitumai. Specifically, when the goy spoke out of innocence, with no intention to testify at all, that's when his testimony is to be accepted. Kehud Avakamav Ozel, as there was a situation where somebody came saying, Man ikka bechavoy, man ikka bechavoy, who's here from the whole home of Chivoy, Shachiv Chivoy, because I have news that Chivoy passed away. The answer Rabbi Yosef Ladvisa, and Rabbi Yosef allowed his wife to get remarried based on the testimony of that guy, since he absolutely said no intention to say testimony, it was Mesich Lefitumai, and that's why he is to be accepted. There are a number of halachas mentioned by the Rishonim already, what is considered Mesich Lefitumai. As we will learn towards the end of this year, Mesich Lefitumai is only if it was not initiated by our asking him a question. However, if we ask him questions about a missing man, if he responds, that will not be considered Mesiach Lefitumai, says the Rif. Furthermore, the Ran says that Mesiach Lefitumai, it's only considered Mesiach Lefitumai if it contains extra details which give us a clear picture about what happened. Just saying that this man is dead would not be considered Mesiach L'Kfei Tumai. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that if the Akum said his testimony in a Bezdin, no matter if he initiated the questioning, the statement, or we initiated it with questions, that's never considered Mesiach L'Kfei Tumai. In fact, some Paiskim say it doesn't necessarily require Bezdin. If it was said in front of a Rav, that too cannot be considered Mesiach L'Kfei Tumai. That's considered regular testimony, which we're now learning in our Gemara, and Akum is not to be, his testimony is not to be accepted. Continues the Gemara. Who would have come for Ozel? There was a person who came and said, Man Ika Bei Chosa Ki Tava Chosa. Who's here from the home of Chosa? Because Chosa drowned. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, hearing these comments, said, Halakim, Ochlu Kavri L'Chasa. He said, a shvua, Chasa must have been eaten up by the fish. Midibura de Rav Nachman, based on what Rav Nachman said, Ozel the visa de Chosa Vinsaba. The wife of Chosa went and got remarried. V'loi Amar L'Amidi, and nothing was said to her for doing that. Amar Vashi. So Vashi, upon hearing what happened, Shmamina, Hodam Rabbonim, from here we can learn, this that we learned in the previous Shurim, the Mayin Shein Lam Soif, in a situation where a man drowned in water that one can't see all four shores, Ishtay Asura, we can't assume that he's dead and his wife is also to get married, Hani Mil L'Chatchila, that's only L'Chatchila. Avli Nosif, if he she did get remarried, we do not make her get divorced. As we see here, she got remarried based on this testimony. And as we mentioned in the previous year from the Chuvis Hagos Maimini, this is a somewhat difficult din to understand. The halach is that this woman may not get remarried, and if she did the wrong thing and she got remarried, she ignored what Chazal say, we're allowed to remain remarried. And therefore, the Hagos Maimini says that the only time we allow the woman to remain remarried is if when she got remarried, she was not aware that she's not allowed to get remarried. But a woman who knows the din, or was told the din that she's not allowed to get remarried, and ignored the psak and got remarried, certainly may not remain remarried. The Mefarshim ask a number of questions. First question they asked is, how did Rav Nachman make this statement, which ultimately led the woman to make this error in believing that she's allowed to get remarried when the din was that she's not allowed to? So the Chasam Sofer answers that the halacha is that the Rama says the testimony that a man passed away must be given in front of a bezdin of three individuals, and the psak has to be given by three individuals. The Chelkus Mechoikik disagrees. He holds that the edus has to be given in front of three rabbonim. The psak can even be given by one rav. But Rav Nachman, who was here by himself, certainly did not believe that anybody would think that this is to be considered anything of a psak, since he was here by alone, and that's how this error was made. Another question the Mefarshim ask is, given that we do not necessarily lahalocha assume that this man is dead, how could Rav Nachman make a shvua helokim that the man is dead? So one pshat that I saw is that the shvua, the helokim, was a exclamation of despair. How sorrowful is the situation of Chosa? Another pshat that I saw is that al pidin, as we spoke about in the previous year, Roiv tells us that this man is indeed dead. It's a special chumrah of Chazal that we do not consider him dead. But halachically, if we want to follow the rules of Roiv and Chazakah, he certainly is dead, and that's why this shvua was not considered a shvua shof. The Or Sameach asks, perhaps she got remarried not because, as we just learned, the halacha is that she gets remarried by the Eved, she may remain remarried. The halacha, maybe she got remarried because Chosa was a famous individual, and had he survived, she would have been informed, she would have known about that. Why doesn't the Gemara consider that, at least according to this version of the Gemara? Says Dar Sumeach, the reason why in the previous shiur the Gemara had a Havamina, that a famous person, a Tzuv Merabbanan's wife, may get remarried if he drowned, is because everybody knows, he will certainly notify his wife that he's alive. Why will he notify his wife that he's alive, says the Ar Sameach? Because he knows that the halach is that the B'di'evit, if she got remarried, she may remain remarried. So there's a good chance she's going to get remarried. That's why he's going to be careful to notify her that he's alive. Ikad Amri, answer Rav Nachman Ledvusa. Rav Nachman himself said that his wife, that Chosu's wife may get remarried. Amra, Chosu gav Rabbi Isa. Chosu is a famous person. Im Isa the Solik, had he survived, Kol Yisrael Lemilsa, we would have become informed that he's alive. V'loihi, however, says the Gemara, that's not true. Loishna gav Rabbi, V'loishna lo gav Rabbi, doesn't make a difference if he is a famous person or not. The Eved in L'chatchila Loi, only by the Eved may his wife get remarried, not L'chatchila. Continues the Gemara. Who have the Chacham to have a common lily you saw? There was a Akam that said to a Jew, K'toil aspasoi v'shodi l'chavoi b'shabsa. Cut some aspasa, that's a type of grass, to give to my animals to eat on Shabbos. V'loi, because if you will not do so, k'tin l'loch, I shall kill you, k'tin l'ploni by Yisrael, like you killed that other Jew, d'omeli bashli k'deir b'shabbos, who I told to cook for me food on Shabbos, v'loi bashli, and refused to cook for me, the katl saying I killed him. Shama devisa, his wife heard, the wife of this person who the goy had now claimed he had once killed, came, v'osla kamei d'abaya, and she came to Abaya to ask a question, can she rely on this testimony to be sure that her husband is dead? She isa. So Abaya postponed giving an answer, Tulsa Rigli. Rashi says, two pshatim Tulsa Rigli. One pshat in Tulsa Rigli, Rashi says, was Sholosh Regalim, that during every Yontif, all the Talmid Chacham would get together. So Abaya wanted to have an opportunity to discuss this question with the Talmid Chacham on three Regalim. Another pshat that Rashi says is that every year on the yard site, on the day that the greatest person passed away, they would all gather, and all the Talmid Chacham would gather. And that was an opportunity to discuss the Shaila. In fact, Rashi says, and the Shar Mitzrayim Balacha quotes the Michsa Lozer, that even though we know normally one might not say Divrei Torah at a cemetery, it's Loig L'Rash, but on the if they're gathering in the cemetery in honor of a person and they're saying Divrei Torah in his honor, that's not considered Loig L'Rash, and Divrei Torah may be said and discussed under those circumstances in a cemetery, which was the situation. Furthermore, the Shvus Yaakov, based on this Gemara, says that even though, as we have been learning, the concept of Mishimeguna Kilba Rabbanan, how Chazal went out of the way to try to be lenient with an Aguna, if a Rav sees that it's appropriate to somewhat delay paskening the Shaila of an Aguna, it is permissible, and that's why Abaya postponed answering this question. Amalar Rav Ada Bar Hava, so Rav Ada Bar Hava told this woman, Zila Kamed Rav Yosef, go to Rav Yosef, the Chorav Sakine, he's very sharp, and he can answer the question. So Mefarshim asked that throughout Shas, Rava is considered the one that's Chorav, and Rav Yosef is considered the Sinai, the Baki, but not the Chorav. So how is he being called the Chorav in this Gemara? So one answer I saw is that compared to Abaya, Rav Yosef was a Chorav. Another answer that I saw is that Rav Yosef was a Baki. He was familiar with all the different Gemaras and Mishnayos. So when a question comes up, he's the right person to ask, because he will probably know the source to be able to give the proper answer. Ozla Kamei. So she went and asked the question by Rav Yosef. Parshat Mahamas Nisa, and he was able to answer from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if an Akam is selling fruits in the marketplace, these fruits are olive fruit. They're from a zika. And therefore, if they're orla, they may not be eaten. And from here we see that the din of orla even applies by Akam. They're from a zika. So Rashi here too says two pshatim. One pshat, Azeka, was a area in Eretz Yisrael that had very good produce, and he was trying to say that this fruit is from Azeka, but if it was an Akum bringing it, we have to be concerned that he did not take off the proper Trumas and Maisris. Another pshat, Rashi says, Shal Azeka, was that it was from a field that was not left Hefker during the Shemitah year, and therefore its fruits may not be eaten. But Rashi questions this pshat, because Rashi says, if it's before the time of Biur, the time where all the fruits of the Shemitah year have to be destroyed, then the fruit may be eaten, no matter what, where it comes from in Israel. And otherwise, it may never be eaten. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos says that fruits that come from a field that were Meshumer, the field is not supposed to be watched during the Shemitah year. And if the field was guarded during the Shemitah year, those fruits may not be eaten. Tosfos asks that we find that the field from which the barley for the Omer was brought in the Shemitah year was guarded. So Tosfos answers, when the Isser of a field being guarded, it only means guarded from humans. Those fields were only guarded from animals, not from humans. Another Teretz Tosfos gives that since those fields weren't owned by individuals, they were owned by Hegdush, the din of Meshumer does not apply to those fields. Another pshat that Ritva says is that the fields of Azeka weren't just watched, they were actually worked on during the Shemitah year. And as the Mefarshim explained, even if there's a discussion, as we have now, Machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, about fields that were guarded during the Shemitah year, if the fruits are permissible, certainly the fruits of field that were worked on during the Shemitah year certainly may not be eaten. Shel Netar Avai Hein, or he said these fruits are Netar Avai, Leyamaklum, we don't believe him, because Lenuskaven El Ashbiach Makfai, he only intends to make what he has seem better, but it's really not to be trusted. Similarly here too, when the guy was threatening the Jew that he'll kill him as he killed the other Jew, we can't take what he says seriously, he was just trying to threaten him. The Chabina Rav asks that we know that generally fruit of Arla is low quality fruit, the fruit that grows the first 3 years. So if the Gemara saying is that he was trying to say that his fruit is better, saying Arla is not making something sound better. Answers the Chabina Rav. What he was trying to say is, look how good my fruit is. That even its fruit that's growing in the first 3 years, where generally that fruit is inferior, my fruit is such high quality that even during the first 3 years, the fruit is high quality fruit. Abiyudna Ishtzayit Oimer. Maisa by Yisrael Avkacham Shalch Baderach. There was a story where a Yisrael and Akam they were traveling on the road. How terrible happened to this Jew that was with me in the road, and he died on the road, and I buried him. And based on this Akum's testimony, they allowed his wife to get remarried. The Rambam says, based on this Gemara, we see that to accept the testimony of an Akum, he has to add the words that he actually saw the Jew buried. The Ritva disagrees. He says, in this case, that was the story, but it's not necessarily required. There was a group of people, they were traveling to Antochia, and a guy came and said, how terrible is this group of people, these group of Jews that died. Again, based on the testimony of the Akum. There were 60 people that were traveling during the war on Beter. They all died and buried. The Aruch Lener questions, why does the Gemara need to bring three episodes that seem to be saying the exact same thing? Says Aruch Lener that every story here has a chiddush. The first story is where the Akum identifies that a certain Jew passed away, that we certainly believe him. The second story, the Chiddush, is that even though there were 60 people, so it's hard to know that there was a group of people, and it's hard to know that he noticed and was sure that every one of them passed away, we still accept his testimony. The third story was during the time of a war. As we learned at the beginning of these sugyas, during the time of the war, there's a concern that whoever's saying testimony is not 100% accurate. Still, we accepted the testimony of a guy. I also saw that the Paiskim discuss, can we accept a death certificate? Can we accept documents from the government that indicate a certain person passed away? And it seems from the Paiskim that Dvar Havram discusses the Shaila, and the Paiskim seem to say it depends what kind of a document. If it's an official document that was properly investigated and therefore written, it can be accepted. But for example, just something that was written in the newspapers, we know that we can't always believe what it says in the paper, and therefore such a document cannot be relied on. Continues the Gemara. Me'idin l'araner l'alavana, we could testify that a man died even though he was only seen by candlelight and moonlight, which is not usually such a strong light. Again, because of the Mishimeguna Kilobarabonan, Chazal were makel to accept the testimony. Furthermore, Mesina Pibaskoil, here the Baskoil does not mean as it normally does throughout Shas, a voice from Shemayim. Here the Baskoil means that there's some voice emanating from an area proclaiming that this man is dead, we could accept it. It says the Mishnah, Ma'is Bechet Shamal Rosh Ahor, somebody was standing on top of the mountain and said, Ish Plenim and Plenim and Mukham Plenim Mace, this man from that place died. Even though they did not find anybody standing there, still the Sea Sister, they let this man's wife, who was proclaimed to be dead, get married. Shur Mice with Salmon, there was another story in Salmon. Bechet Shamal Ni Ish Plenim Ben Ish Plenim, I am the following man, Nishchani Nachash, I was been bitten by snake for any mace, and I am dying. And they went and they did not recognize him. As the Meiri explains, even though this person was known to them and they knew how he looks, and here he didn't look like he normally looked, still they accepted that this was indeed that man, and the fact that he didn't look the same was because the venom of the snake had distorted his appearance. And they allowed his wife to get me married. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, how much identification does the person have to give? Does he have to say his name and his father's name and where he's from? And in fact, in the Mishnah, the Rishonim Amadaik, in the first case, the person gave much more information than in the second case. So the Mefarshim say it depends on the circumstances. In the first case, where we don't even have the person that made this proclamation, at least we need to have more details. In the second case, where we have the person who died, we see him dead, although there is a question because we don't recognize him, less details are required. But there, too, there's a machlokes, to what degree? Is it enough? Our Mishnah speaks about him mentioning his name and his father's name. Other Rishonim say that if he mentioned his name and the name of his city, even if he didn't mention his father's name, it would be adequate. Amar Rav Shmuel Tana, v'shamar emesina by Baskoil, we cannot rely on a Baskoil. V'shamar emesina by Baskoil, we can rely on a Baskoil. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what's this Braisa teaching us? Masnissen he, obviously our Mishnah follows the opinion of Beis Hillel. The Halach is always like Beis Hillel. Answers the Gemara, ha Kamashmon, what we're learning here is, the imshtak istama, if we'll find a Mishnah, a Braisa, that says Amosin, that we can't rely on a Baskoil, we should know Beishamai here, that price represents the opinion of Beishamai. And as the Aruch Haner asks, even obviously there are no Mishnayis that say you cannot rely on a Baskoil, because the Tanoim were familiar with all the Mishnayis. It's only a Brisa that we're concerned may exist that says we can't rely on a Baskoil. So we wouldn't rely on a Brisa anyway against a Mishnah. So the Aruch Haner says that if we will find such a Brisa, instead of trying to say a different answer, we should just recognize that Brisa represents the opinion of Beis Shammai. Our Mishnah represents the opinion of Beis Hillel, which is the Halacha. So the Mishnah says, V'hochav le'mitzo, somebody announced that this man was dead, and when they went to look for the person making the announcement, they couldn't find him. Ask the Gemara V'dimla Shade Hava, perhaps this announcer was a shade not to be trusted. And as the Rishonim point out, It's only in a place where there is a concern that shadim frequent. In a place where there are no shadim, we obviously don't have this concern. And says the Gemara, Amri Yehuda Marav, Sharalai Dmus Adam. The person who made this announcement we saw had a human form. Ask the Gemara, Inu Namidamu. Shadim also have a human form. Answers the Gemara, the Chazle Bebua, they saw the shadow of the speaker. Ask the Gemara, Vininu Nami Istu Bebo, Shadim also have a shadow. Answers the Gemara, the Chazle Bebua Debua, they saw the shadow of a shadow. As the Mepharshim explained, that when the sun is low in the morning and in the evening, there are two shadows. A dark one, which is closer to the object, and a lighter one, which is further from the object. The lighter shadow is referred to bua de bua, and that shadim don't have, because only somebody with an neshama, say the svarim, have such a shadow. Ask the Gemara of Adimel the do is to bua de bua. Maybe they have it. Amar of Chanina, Amar Yonis and Shida, Yonis and Tupshatim, Yonis and himself was a shade, or Yonis was a person who knew much about shadim. Bua islahu, bua de bua leslu, a double shadow they do not have. Mepharshim also explained that if there are many people together, that is also proof that it's not a shade, because shadim are not to be believed. Shadim do not go where there are many people. Ask them of a dimot tzara avoy. Maybe we should be concerned that it was the tzara of this woman making this announcement. And as we learned before, a tzara has an animosity and will say this edus to harm her co-wife. And again, Daruch Lener explains why we're not concerned that maybe it's one of the other women that we learned on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin are not to be trusted. Says Daruch Lener, the other women, we know who they are. We know who someone's mother-in-law is. And we know that he maybe doesn't have a mother-in-law, doesn't have a stepdaughter, etc. But there's always a concern that a person married another woman without our knowledge. Answers the Gemara, since it's a shasa sakana, we can write a get and give to a wife based on the instruction of a man if he says he's a husband, if we don't know for sure. Here too, because we guna, we're more makel. This is machloikis Rama and Taz. What's going to be the halacha if there's a concern that this person is a goy? Can we trust his testimony or not? It's not really a regular situation of Masich Lefitumai. The Rama says, since the Gemara never asked the question, maybe it's a goy, the proof that a goy would be trusted under these situations. Taz disagrees, and he says a goy cannot be trusted under these situations. Amar Kiva, Shirati Nador L'Abashana, when I went to Nador to make a leap year, but Sasi Nechemi Ishbez Tali, I find Nechemi Ishbez Tali. It's interesting, the Rambam says there are 38 Tanoim who are mentioned only once in Shas, and this is one of those individuals that's only mentioned once. I heard that in Eretz Yisrael they don't allow a woman to get remarried based on the testimony of Bnei Echad. Ella, the only one that is Mekel, is of Yehuda ben Baba. And I said to him, Kenadvarim, indeed that is correct. Omli, Emla Mishmi, tell the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, Atem Yoidim Shemedina Meshubesis Begaisis. You know where I am is a place of war, so I can't travel. But please notify them. Mikublani mir Bagmil Azokin, I have a tradition from Bagmil Azokin, Shemesina Si Isha Pierecha, we can marry off a woman based on the testimony of one aide. Shibaisi, Virtsaisi Advaral Fnei Rav Gamliel, and when I came and I notified Rav Gamliel, Shtamach Ludvarai, he was very happy with what I said, V'oma. Matsanu Chavel Rav Yehuda Ben Baba, we found somebody else that agrees with Rav Yehuda Ben Baba. Matoich Adavar, as we were discussing this halacha, Niskrim Gamliel, Shenergu Harugim Tel Arza, the people were killed in Tel Arza, the seer of Gamliel and Shasem Apir Echad, and Gamliel married off their wives based on the testimony of one aid. Machlokes was showing him how to understand this. One is that Gamliel was reporting that now he was reporting, I remember that previous generations there was a situation where we relied on the testimony of one aid. Another pshat is that there were women who were agunas, whose husbands were killed in Tel Arza, and there was only an aid echad to testify that their husbands were dead. And now Rav Gamliel says we can allow these women to get remarried. Eid, and we allowed women to get married on the testimony of an Eid Echad, Mipi Eved, on the testimony of an Eved, Mipi Isha, the testimony of a woman, Mipi Shifcha, based on the testimony of a Shifcha. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, Imrim, Amos, Sin, Aish Isha, Pi Eid Echad, we do not trust an Eid Echad. Rabbi Kiva, Imrim, Loya Pi Isha, Veloya Pi Eved, Veloya Pi Shifcha, Veloya Pi Krivim, not through relatives. And as the Aruch Haner explains, Rabbi Kiva had a number of stages in his psak, as will become evident in the Gemara. First, he didn't rely on an Eid Echad, and certainly all these other people, and then ultimately he relied on an Eid Echad, and then he ultimately relied on all these other people also. There's this shaila, what is going to be the halacha if somebody is a posel Eidus, he's a gazlan, will he become posel for Eid Echad? It seems for most paiskim that such a person cannot be trusted. Another question that there's a machlokes in is if somebody's on a geula eidus, can we trust him or not? It depends on what is the disqualification of a nogeya, somebody who's partial. Is it because he's like a korov, and then he could be trusted, just like relatives are trusted here? Or is it that he's inherently disqualified, and then he cannot be trusted under these situations? Ask the Gemara, v'sover, Rabbi Kiva pi shaloi, does Rabbi Kiva say that we can't trust a woman? Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I'm Shimon Rabbi Kiva, Ishin amenis lahavi gitu mekav chayma. A woman is trusted to bring her own get. That means, let's say she brings the get and she says that my husband said I'm not to be divorced until I deliver the get to a certain destination. She's trusted. Oman noshim shav mechachomim, ain amenis lahavi meispala. If the woman that we just mentioned earlier, five women that are not trusted to be, say that a woman's husband died, those women, Nemanis Lahavi Gitayim, are to be trusted to deliver their get of these women. Zu, Shinamanis Laman Mesbal, a woman herself, who can trust, who's to be trusted to say her husband died, Ain Adin Shinamanis Lahavi Gita, certainly she's trusted to bring her own get. Nashim Shamar Chamahudalai Mahemni. So it seems that only those specific five women are not to be trusted. Ishib Alma, however, every other woman, Mahemna. So how could our Mishnah have Rabbi Kiva holding that women are not trusted? Answer the Gemara like Kasha. Can Kaidim Shechziku, before they established the halacha of relying on a woman, that's our Mishnah. Can Lach Shechziku, this statement of Rekiva was after they established that women ought to be trusted to say that a get was delivered, and that is indeed the halacha that we're more lenient in accepting this testimony. Amrloi. So continues the Mishnah, said to Rekiva, Maisa, as we start the last Mishnah of our Masechna, there was a situation where a group of Levim went to the city of Tsoyar, and one of them got ill, and they brought him to a hotel, and they continued on their travels. When they came back, they asked the woman who took care of the hotel, where is our colleague? So she told him, he passed away and they buried him. And based on that testimony, the Rabbanim allowed his wife to get remarried. So says the Mishnah of Loite Kahanis Kapundikis. So the way most Rishonim explained the Mishnah, here we trusted this woman, this Avodis Kachavim, as the Gemara will show us, when she was Mesiach Lefitumai. So certainly a Jewish woman should be trusted when she says Eidus that someone passed away. Amalhu, Rabbi Kiva says, Lekeshtei Kepundikis Namenis. If a Jewish woman is Mesiach Lefitumai, I too will trust a Jewish woman. You, however, want to trust her with Eidus, that I don't trust. And furthermore, Hapundikis Aitzilha, Makla Vatamila Vasevatar Shabiyadai, she had all these things that belong to this person that she said died. That's the reason she can't certainly be believed when she says he died. Ask the Gemara, my Gryus of the Pundikus, why is the Pundikus not considered reliable? Omer of Kahana, Pundikus of Avodis Kachavim Haisa, the Pundikus was an Avodis Kachavim, or Mesiach Lefituma Haisa, she was Mesiach Lefitumai, and furthermore, Zamakle Vesa, Tamila Vesa, Kavish Kvartibai, she had, so to speak, proof that what she was saying was true. V'chein Tana Abba Breid Rabbi Numi Barchia, Pundikus Avodis Kachavim Haisa, Mesiach Lefituma Haisa, she was Mesiach Lefitumai, and she had zemak v'zatamila v'zakev v'shikvar tabay. And as Tosfos points out, because she had these items, it's not a regular situation of masich l'fitumai. Ask the Gemara, how can we call her a masich l'fitumai? They initiated the conversation. They asked her, where is our colleague? And as we mentioned at the beginning of the shir, when the conversation, when the questioning is initiated, that's not, by us, that's not considered a masich l'fitumai. Answers the Gemara, Kivin the Chazin Bachya. They came and they saw her crying. Amrlo, and they asked her, Ayechavarenu, where is our friend? Amrlo had Mesa Kvartif. So since she was crying before they asked her any questions, it's not considered that she that they initiated the situation with their questioning. We know that when Edom come, certainly when it's a Shaila of Dinei Nefashos, Drisha v'chakira is required. Questioning and cross-examining. And as the Gemara Masechta the Sanhedrin explains, there are 7 standard questions that always have to be asked, and then we have to go on to ask more questions to really understand if and make sure that what the Edom is saying is true, and what both Edom say, they're both saying the exact same thing. Our Gemara begins now a Shaila, what is the halacha if somebody comes and says that someone passed away? What is the requirement? Tana Bonin. Mais Badam Echot Shabal Lohoid El Ishka of Sneber B'Tarfin. There was a person that came to say testimony before B'Tarfin about a woman saying that her husband had died. Amalai B'Tarfin said to him, B'nei, Hach Atu Yudeya Beidus Ishazu. How are you aware about of this testimony? Amru. So this man who is saying the testimony, the witness says, Aniva hu, I and this man, we were traveling on the road. And shoulders chased after us. He grabbed onto a branch from an olive tree, broke it off the tree, and they fought off those soldiers. So I said to him, Aryeh, you're a lion. You get a yashkoich for the wonderful work you did. Amali, Menayin atu yodeya sh'aryeh shmi. How do you know my name is Aryeh? Kach karnasi b'iri. Indeed, that is the name I'm called in my city. Yoichan b'Rabbi Yoisun Aryeh de Mikvar Shechaya. That's my name. L'yomim, after a number of days, Chola, this person, this Yoichan Aryeh, took ill, umes, and he died. And that's how I knew he was this person. V'sir of Tarfin, Ishtar of Tarfin, allowed his wife, the wife of Yoichan, Rabbi Yonis and Aryeh, to get married. From here we see that just this one aid saying testimony, Rabbi Tarfin not questioning him, and he accepted his testimony. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfin like boy Jewish for Chakira? Rabbi Tarfin doesn't require Jewish for Chakira. But Tanya, Mais Badim Echot Shabal of Nerev Tarfin, Lohoyed Eidus Isha, there's an individual who came to say testimony that someone died in front of Rabbi Tarfin. Abmoy Beni, how do you know this testimony? We were traveling on the road. And the soldiers were chasing afterwards. He grabbed off a branch from a fig tree. And he fought off the soldiers. You have my name right. That's what I'm called in my town. Yomim, after a number of days, Cholomais, this person died. Rav Tarfin tried to trick him and say maybe his name is Yoichan ben Yonason. I told you this is the name. Yoichan ben Yonason, Aryeh Mekfar Shachya. So you see Rav Tarfin was trying to trap him, to trick him, to make sure that he had his testimony right. And he questioned him a number of times, the Kivinus Tvarov, until he saw that his story remained consistent. The Seer of Tafran Sishtoi, to see that Rish V'Chakira is required, answers the Gemara Tanayi. It actually represents a Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanya, Ein Baikim Eden Noshim Drish V'Chakira, people who come to say that a man died, Drish V'Chakira is not required. Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tafranoima, Tafran says, Baikim Drisha v'chakira is required. What is the basis of the machloikis? The commitment given to Rav Chanina. They're arguing over what Rav Chanina said. I'm Rav Chanina. Dvar Torah, Midaraisa, Echadina, Mamanus, with Echadina, and Fashus, all type of situations require Drisha v'chakira. Shanema, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, all types of Dina Torah should be treated in the same manner. Matam Omru, why did Chazal say, Dina Mamanus ain't Srich and Drisha v'chakira? We don't do Drisha v'chakira by Dina Mamanus. Shleitinal Dalas b'fnei Lovim. If someone's going to lend money to someone else, and he's going to know that if he's going to have a claim, he's going to have to go through a whole drish v'chakira, it will prevent him from lending money. So that's why, by dina mamonis, Chazal were lenient. And here the machloikis b'mayka mefgi, ma'asov akivin de'ikik suba l'mishkub, since here too, if the husband died, and the wife is going to get remarried, she's entitled to get a ksuba from the first husband's estate. So kedine mamon is tami, and therefore drish v'chakira is not required. Or masav akivin the kashirin and eshesish la'alma, since it's a question of letting an eshesish get married, it's considered like dine nefashos. And as the mefarshim explain, what did Reb Tafrin hold? We have two episodes where Reb Tafrin seems to contradict himself. So mefarshim explain there were two versions what Reb Tafrin hold. The mefarshim rishonim ask, how could one suggest that this is not a question of Eishes Ish, that it's only dealing moments? Of course there is an element of a woman being allowed to get married. So the Rishonim give a number of terutzim. One terutz that I saw is Mishimiguna Kilabarabonim. This falls under the general heading where we've been learning the Chazal were Mekel because of the situation of Iguna. Another terutz that I saw is that there are really two separate dintairas happening here. One is a dintaira about the ksuba, and one is a dentaira if she's allowed to get remarried. So once we are lenient in the dentaira of the ksuba, we can't have two different contradictory situations, and that's why we're also makel on the dina eishes ish. And Ritva gives an answer that since nowadays we anyway don't, Bezin doesn't give capital punishment, so it's never considered dating the fashas, and that's why we're lenient even as far as the shail of the eishes ish. Which is indeed the way Tosfos tells us, the last Tosfos of the Masechta, that we could be lenient and not require Drish v'chakira. However, says the Rama, that even though the Shulchan Aruch tells us that, like Tosfos, that Drish v'chakira are not required, still says the Rama, that if a Dayan has a question and sees that there's something that doesn't sound right, certainly he cannot just accept the testimony of saying that someone is dead, and he has to do Drish v'chakira. An example that the Pais can give of such a situation, where there was a man missing for many years, everyone was aware that he was missing, and his wife was a guna. Many, many years later, a person who was well aware of the situation comes to say, Edus, that I know this man is dead. That's a questionable situation. Where were you all these years? And certainly, Drish v'chakir would be required. Moreover, I saw from many paiskim, as we finished these sugyas, that we should never have such shailas of aguna. Paiskim used to say, first when a story came to them, they didn't look at the halacha. They first, the Chafetz Sharon says, the many paiskim would first look and try to figure out, what do they really believe? Is this man dead or not? After they came to their own understanding, that they start seeing and looking how the halacha tells us, what does the halacha tell us to do? And the Masechta, Amr Rav Elazar, Amr Rav Chanina, Tamid HaChacham Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, Tamid HaChacham brings Shalom to the world, Shnema V'chol B'nayich Lemudei Hashem V'Rav Shalom B'nayich. So Mefarshim explain how does this come to the end of our Masechta. Mefarshim answer, since as we've been learning all these sugyas of Mishimaguna Kilabar Abonin, how Chazal bent over backwards to be lenient on behalf of Naguna because they wanted Shalom in the world. Other Mefarshim explained in trying to connect the beginning of the Masechta with the end of the Masechta, they explained that the beginning of the Masechta we learned many blat ago, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, 15 women, Peturus Min Chalitza Min Yibum, and the Gemara asked, why does the Mishnah say Peturus Min Chalitza before Yibum? And the Gemara said, because we follow the opinion of Abba Shaul that prefers Chalitza over Yibum, because Yibum has to be done with the proper intention. Even though Yibum is the greater mitzvah, but the proper intention is required. And the Masechta, Talmid HaChachamim, who have the right intention, they can do Yibum and bring Shalom between the husband and his brother and his widow. Another pshat is, as we learned also at the beginning of the Masechta, there were certain disagreements between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding which women may get be married, may not be married. But as the Gemara taught us, Emes Vashom Avu, they still lived in harmony with each other and notified each other of what the status of these women were. And that's what the Mishnah Masechta ends for. Rav Shalom, Hatamid Chamim, even if they disagree, live with Shalom amongst each other. The Gra says that the pasuk here says Rav Shalom Bainayach. The word Bainayach stands for the four Masechtas that end with this, with these words: Masechta Brachas, Masechta Nazir, and Masechta Krisis. And explains the Aruch Hashem there. There are four types of shalom in the world: the shalom between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shalom between a person, between people, the shalom between a husband and a wife, and there's supposed to be shalom between the guf and the neshama. Masechta Brachas, which speaks about Krishma, refers to shalom between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Masechta Yevamos, which speaks about peace between brothers, is shalom between Adam l'chaveroi. Masechta Nazir, as we know, the Gemara says, if somebody sees someone doing znus, yaza atzmir meyayin, so that refers ben ish le ishtoi. And Masechta Krisis refers to people avoiding doing terrible averis, refers to the shalom between the guf and the neshama. Explain the mefarshim further. Talmidei chachomim marbim shalom ba'olam. It's specifically the Talmid Chachamim. The Talmid Chachamim, who when we learn, and as we learn with each other, and we learn the Gemaras, and discuss the various machloikis, there's not peace right away. First there's disagreement, but the disagreement brings real peace, as Vahav Basufai, at the end we all come to the same goal of Limur HaTorah. And that's why they're called Talmidei Chachamim. They're not people who consider themselves Chachamim. They're people that consider themselves Talmidim, people who are Talmidim, willing to listen to each other. And we will end the Masechta with a beautiful Dvar Torah from Yecheskel Abramsky. Yecheskel Abramsky once said a Siyum Masechta Yevamos. And he said this Gemara. And he said, the Gemara is a little difficult to understand. The Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. He says, are Talmidei Chachamim the people who bring peace in the world? Are Talmidei Chachamim marriage counselors? Are Talmidei Chachamim peace negotiators? That the Gemara says, the Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Says Reb Cheskel Abramsky, every one of us in life, in our daily activities, have different pressures, have different questions, have different challenges. When does a person live and experience real menuchas hanefesh? When is a person at peace with himself? When he sits in front of the Gemara, when he sits and learns the daf, then those minutes and those hours of learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy Torah, those are the most enjoyable, peaceful, greatest moments of our lives. Talmidei Chachamim who sit and learn Torah, as difficult as sometimes the Gemaras are, but they learn with the Geshmak and they try to understand the Dvar Hashem. They are Zoicha, that their lives are lives of Marbim Shalom, peaceful, harmonious, Geshmak lives, where we all be Zoicha to be always amongst those people who are called Kabanayach, Lamudei Hashem, Rav Shalom Benayach. Hanulach Yishabasra, Vasilika Lach Masechta Yevamos.